Coming up on show 896, it's a Battery Day preview as Christmas Day finally arrives for the hardcore Tesla fans. Plus on the podcast today, SK Innovation accelerate their battery building in the US. Nikola Luz, their founder and chairman, not misplaced, as in he's a goner. And the UK looks to bring forward the combustion engine ban to 9 years' time. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Tuesday, 22nd of September. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you haven't got to. Well, thank you as always to MyEV for helping make the show. MyEV.com. I've been to the office once. They're in Miami. It was beautiful. It rained the entire time I was there. But they all drive EVs, obviously. The parking lot at MyEV is mostly Tesla, I would say. And some very fine cars they have there as well. But if you are looking to learn about, to buy, to sell, it's a totally free marketplace in the US. You can check them out at myev.com. So Elon's been tweeting late on Monday to calm expectations around Battery Day as it really reached fever pitch, and that's no hyperbole. YouTube bloggers have been making endless videos about nanotechnology and biscuit tin batteries. Newspapers, whether they are the tech blogs or car blogs or just the mainstream press, have been going loopy about Battery Day. And you know what? This is cool, because when was the last time anyone got this excited over spark plug day or catalytic converter day, diesel engine day? Just doesn't happen, does it? So it's cool. I'm excited. Tongue slightly in cheek. Yes, I do find it amusing, the sheer fervor around Battery Day before anything's actually happened yet. And so Elon's been tweeting today to try and dampen down some of those expectations. He said, important note about Tesla Battery Day tomorrow. This affects long-term production, especially Semi, Cybertruck, and Roadster. But what we announce will not reach serious high-volume production until 2022, said Elon. Look, that's not that much of a dampening down, is it? You know, if Tesla fans have to wait another year and a half to get this technology they're unveiling tomorrow, they will wait. It'll give them another year and a half of something to talk about, won't it? He also said, we intend to increase, not reduce, battery cell purchases from Panasonic, LG, and CATL, and other partners too, possibly. However, even with our cell suppliers going at maximum speed, we still foresee significant shortages in 2022 and beyond, unless we take action ourselves. So, yeah, I mean, there was all the evidence you need that they are going to be making their own cells, and they're going to be working with, I know I've been saying for a long time, as people have been talking about how Tesla have been going on their own and plowing their own path and leaving Panasonic behind. You know, if you listen to the shareholders' calls, the earnings calls with Elon, and you pay attention to those, he has said over the years that Tesla are battery supply constrained and will be for a very long time. They can use every single cell they can lay their hands on. So rather than saying they're going to ditch off Panasonic and all the others, Elon's saying, look, we need more batteries, so we will work with those closer and others possibly, and also make our own stuff as well. So that CATL story that we reported a little while ago about how they're cobalt free lithium iron phosphate batteries, these are the ones with not so great energy density, so the cars don't go as fast in terms of range, but much cheaper, and being used in the Chinese Model 3. The way that he name-checked CATL there makes me think that actually either they or Panasonic, who have been talking about cobalt-free batteries, one of the announcements at Battery Day could well be that in the standard range plus, in other words, the cheapest, Model 3 and Model Y in the US will also get these batteries, these cobalt-free, lower energy density but much cheaper to produce batteries, and that will allow them to lower the price of the car and maybe take a bit more profit as well. We will see. Really looking forward to it. And of course, on the podcast, I will bring you one of the very rare times when we do a single subject podcast to tomorrow's show. We'll all be about the fallout of Battery Day and my take on it, if you are interested. Bloomberg had an article out today which said seven things to expect from Battery Day. Cost parity is their number one. Yep, that's in terms of cost parity with combustion cars. They say that they expect to announce the battery costs have dropped below $100 per kilowatt hour. Well, look, if you're talking cobalt-free LFP batteries, it's going to be a lot less than 100. Destination density, they say. The most advanced batteries found in Model 3 have an energy density of 250 kilowatt hours per kilogram, according to Bloomberg NEF, and by the middle of the decade could be 400. Yep, I'd agree with that. Number three, electrode innovation. Bloomberg say there's a small chance Elon may announce that Tesla is making their own batteries. Right, Bloomberg, have you not been on the internet for the last 2 years? That's the one thing we do know. That's a strange thing to say, that they may be. There's a small chance they may make their own batteries. Okay, Bloomberg, there's a 100% chance they definitely will be, because they've been buying companies that are very good at making cells. And also, there's been big orders. There was a big order going into, was it a Korean company, to do with machines to help make them cells? Yeah, I think that one's a given. Bloomberg, someone slip them an instruction of how to use a thing called Twitter. Number four, cobalt-free batteries. Yeah, CATL does provide Tesla their made-in-China Model 3 standard range plus LFP, lithium iron phosphate, when you hear me say LFP batteries. They say that they could be coming to more markets, which I would agree with. Number five, spiked with silicon. The more silicon there is in the anode, the higher energy density of the battery, and it's possible Elon Musk will announce that they found a way to announce to increase the amount of silicon in the graphite anodes. And again, Elon has made reference to this before. Number six, the million-mile battery, say Bloomberg, which I personally hate that phrase because they already make a million-mile battery, because that just refers to the amount of cycles that a battery can go through, and Tesla make one already. So that's a weird thing to say. But, I mean, they could be announcing more longevity, more durability. I'll give Bloomberg the benefit of the doubt there. This is not an entirely terrible article. The thing that could influence is vehicle-to-grid or grid support or utility services or just that whole bit of the business with Tesla that is to do with grid management, their auto-bidder software, which integrates with pricing so you can store renewables when they're generated nice and cheap and sell them back to the grid when everyone gets home at 4 o'clock and makes their tea. And then you can make some money that way. And of course, they've got their megapack grid level storage stuff. So that could be a big part of it. And number seven, a partnership shift. Will one supplier emerge as dominant for Tesla and their battery supply business? Is Bloomberg's seventh point? Well, I think Elon tweeted the exact opposite. No, there will be no one supplier. Elon saying there'll be many. So interesting, because Bloomberg do cover Tesla, there's a lady called Dana or Dana. She seems to cover them pretty closely, but I don't always, not that I disagree, just that some of those bits there are pretty, well, some of them are kind of obvious and some of them aren't really moonshots. They're sort of dead certs. Right, let's move on. The Verge takes a tech look at Tesla's battery day, and they talk about the biscuit tin cells, which is a little annoying, actually. These cells that were pictured last week are rumoured to be from Tesla's Roadrunner project, about twice the size of the 2170 cells, and that is just the form factor. When I say 2170, it's just the size of the battery, like very big double A's. But they're not really, like, I think of a biscuit tin as you want a good chunky biscuit tin, don't you? If you have a biscuit tin, you want to get it stocked. And so I've seen people in the last couple of days, they all jumped on the bandwagon of calling it the biscuit tin battery cell. It's not. It's like a tin of beans. Anyway, let's not argue. They have higher energy capacity. They're lower cost for them to make. And one of the things that we think they could, if these photos were true, is that Tesla could also say that they're going to make their own cells, like basically big tins of beans, take the wrapper off, silver outside, looks exactly the same, and that they will be making their own line cell manufacturing. Of course, they have been putting job ads out looking for workers and experience in manufacturing cells, so it's a bit of a dead cert, really, that that's exactly what they're doing, and that battery cell equipment will be heading to Fremont in California, and then the gigafactories in Giga Shanghai and Giga Berlin as well. Oh, and of course, Giga Nevada. Elon Musk has sent an email to all staff, and it's one of those ones where he must know that if he sends an email to all staff, it gone leak. It is gone leak quick. And Tesla has a shot at a record quarter for vehicle deliveries, according to Elon Musk in a leaked email to employees. Now, Tesla has its own wholly vertically integrated system. So every vehicle that it owns, it then sells direct to customers. And until they sell it, well, it's still Tesla's. There's no selling it to dealers and then leaving it to dealers to sell it to local people. So this has a big effect on Tesla's financials, since they can't recognize the revenue until the cars are in the driveways of their customers, says Fred at Electrek today. Elon says in his email, "We have a shot at record quarter deliveries, but we have to rally hard to achieve it. This is the most number of vehicles per day that we would ever have had to deliver. Please consider vehicle deliveries to be the absolute top priority. It's also extremely important that we keep factory output as high as possible over the 10 remaining days. This is vital for the California market." And Tesla's last record deliveries were 112,000 vehicles delivered in a quarter. That was the end of last year, Q4 2019. More battery news. You know, on this podcast, gone are the days where I used to have to sift through tons of articles to find battery news, because battery news has always been very important for long-term listeners. They will know that I've always tried to seek out battery stories because they are the linchpin in the move to green mobility. Without batteries, there'll be no EVs, right? And so they're so important to the story. And yet it's been really hard to find that information to bring you over the last few years. But SK Innovation today announced their plans to hire more than 1,000 skilled American workers by the end of next year for the production starting at their electric vehicle battery plants being built in Georgia. There's two of them going up 70 miles northeast of Atlanta in one of the largest economic projects in Georgia's history. SK Innovation, the South Korean battery company, affirmed their long-range investment plans to make Georgia one of the largest hubs of EV battery manufacturing in the world. SK Innovation, which is South Korea's largest energy company, is building their two EV battery plants as part of a $2.6 billion investment in the US in making batteries in the US and adding 2,500 permanent jobs in the Jackson County area in the next 3 years. The first SK Battery America plant is designed to open in 2021. Now, I mentioned this at the start of the show. More trouble and turbulence at Nikola. They're the ones that have apparently got the world's greatest hydrogen and battery technology. Oh, but actually, no, they haven't, because they did a deal with GM to use all of theirs a couple of weeks ago. Well, Nikola, the embattled EV startup and hydrogen startup company, recently partnering with General Motors, had to announce in the early hours of this morning that their founder stepped down as executive chairman, effective immediately. Do not pass go. Do not collect £200. But he did collect about $70 million in shares around the time of the IPO. So don't feel too sorry for Trevor Milton. He's got a few bob in his back pocket, and he can probably do a few home renovations with that. Automotive News Europe says the stock tumbled after the short seller Hindenburg Research questioned the validity of Nikola's claims about their EV technology, accusing Nikola of being an intricate fraud built on dozens of lies. That drew the attention of financial regulators. The SEC are now probing Nikola. Nikola refuted the allegations by completely agreeing with them. The allegations of, "You rolled your truck downhill. That video was fake." And their rebuttal was, "We never said it was moving under its own steam. We just rolled it down the hill. And we said, in their promotional video, here is the truck in motion." I mean, technically, they're right. Although, yes, unfortunately, the truck couldn't move by itself. And of course, people saw that promotional video, and it was fair to assume investors would see that and go, "Ooh, they've made a hydrogen truck. Maybe I'll invest in this company." So the SEC are now probing, and more as well, and it's going to get worse before it gets better at Nikola, is my prediction there. Good luck to the people at GM who did that deal with Nikola only 2 weeks ago, explaining to their bosses what exactly they were doing. Okay, moving on. UK plans to bring forward the ban on fossil fuel vehicles to 2030, poised here in this country to bring forward a ban on combustion cars by 10 years. The year was going to be 2040, and that just seemed ridiculous because climate change is happening now. We need to move to clean, green transport. We need fewer cars as well, but, you know, it's easier to tell people to drive a battery car than no car at all. So Then it got moved to 2035. And then one morning on Radio 4, which is a kind of, I'm going to say highbrow, but it's not that, but it's a very worthy, at times slightly chin-strokey, morning talk radio program from the BBC. It's all very proper. Somebody from the government went on there and said, well, you know, it could be 2030. And the car industry lost their the car industry just lost it that day. They were like, there is no way you can ban combustion engines at 2030. You will destroy an industry. So the government said, okay, well, go away and we'll think about it. Because, you know, on one hand, saving the planet. On the other hand, the car industry is going to have to make battery cars quicker than they wanted to. So the government have come back and said, we've thought about it. It's going to be 2030. Boris Johnson will accelerate the shift to electric vehicles this autumn with an announcement. It was going to be this week, but they're going to move it back because COVID has kicked off a bit here, actually. One of a string of new clean energy policies to trigger the green economic recovery from COVID, says the Guardian newspaper. The decision to end sales of anything with an engine inside it in the year 2030 would put the UK ahead of many other countries, actually, like France, which has a 2040 ban. And it would move us more in line with Germany, Ireland, the Netherlands, Norway are going for 2025. And one of the things that freaked people out was, this includes hybrids. The government said, if it has an engine inside it, you can't sell it. So of course there'll be a big fleet of cars. Cars last, what do you reckon, 15, 20 years? So, you know, there'll be cars sold on the last day of 2029 that'll be on the roads until 2040, polluting and stinking up the place. But will there? Because here's my question to you. When the government come out, and so say we do it in this country, and say, I don't know if you're one of the listeners that I have around the world, but when big countries, I'm not saying that we're like a massive big, you know, country, not too big for our boots, but we are generally a larger player on the global scale. When big countries like the UK, like France, like Germany, bring these dates forward, it impacts car makers. And so admittedly, they'll still move more of their combustion cars to those countries that aren't banning them. But generally, it will speed things along. So, when this gets announced, and you intend to buy a car and keep it until it stops working, like I say, if a car runs 10 or 15 years, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, 2030, they're banning combustion cars, new ones, of course, being on sale, and you think, I'm not going to risk it. So the minute, you know, my prediction is, and hold me to account when this if it does or doesn't happen, that when announcements like this happen and get set in stone, the market for petrol and diesel will just fall off a cliff so much quicker than it has been. And if there's no EVs to fill that gap, and there's really not, there's a shortage of EVs. People want to buy them and the supply isn't there yet. I think people will defer their purchase. They'll keep existing cars on the road longer, which, of course, the car industry has pointed out. Oh, but those old cars, they're dirtier. Buy one of our new ones because the new ones are really clean. Okay, fine. And I think people will defer a new purchase for a year or two rather than jump into a big purchase of a combustion car knowing the end is nigh. Well, I don't know. We'll see. The other thing that people will say is that when we all plug in to charge our car, the grid will explode and the world will end. Graham Cooper is the director in charge of the National Grid EV project, and he told the Guardian newspaper that fears over the UK electricity grid's ability to cope with a boom in EV charging was completely unfounded. It's the National Grid's job to make sure that the lights stay on. They've been looking at this issue for many years, probably over a decade now, and Graham Cooper, who has, anytime anybody asks him, as an expert in this, will tell you, there's no problem. All these fears, they're unfounded. And they'll work out, there's various plans in place to do this. There'll be grid storage, there'll be more battery storage, there'll be incentive to change people's behaviour. So electricity will be more expensive when it's busy and it'll be cheaper overnight and when there's more renewables on the grid. I'm on that tariff already, by the way. And he said that the National Grid was confident that an even faster transition would be possible and that it's suitably robust. There's just some local areas that may need their grid reinforcing just through a legacy thing of, well, you know, more houses have been built in those areas, and actually we just need to make sure that on a local level, it's all okay. Okay, let's move on. VW is racing to meet EU targets with pooling deals. A quick background history on this one. This year, the new targets kicked in with the European Union, and so car makers if you take all the cars they sell, that's called their fleet, they have to hit certain carbon dioxide emissions targets. And if they exceed them, they'll get fined, and the fines are very big. And so if they sell an EV, that allows them to sell one of their dirty SUVs with a high profit margin with a diesel engine. In fact, because of the way that it's weighted to begin with, if you sell one EV this year, you can sell two of your big, stinky, dirty SUVs with a diesel engine. And so car makers only really moved all of their EV inventory to Europe this year for that reason. However, COVID hit, the whole car market was down. Actually, it might not be a problem after all, simply because they didn't sell any cars, really. Volkswagen has now brokered what they call an insurance policy with MG Motor that will allow the German car maker to count their electric car sales alongside their own. So all the Volkswagens and the MGs will be pooled together. In what is seen as a last-ditch effort to comply with the EU's emissions target, says the website Euractiv, VW has entered into a pooling agreement with MG, owned by China's SAIC Motor, to reduce VW's average emissions and bring it in line with European legislation. EU documents, which were posted online, just revealed today. However, according to the 2020 regulations, car makers have to slash their fleet emissions to an EU-wide 95 grams of CO2 per kilometre. Each firm has their own goal, and while some are on track to meet their benchmarks, others will struggle, others will miss them and be fined. VW was one of those expected to hit their target without any outside help, and so this deal with MG is adding to a few scratched heads today, a few confused faces why they needed to do this. MG selling their ZSEV very well, adding an estate car to the UK, Norway and France markets this year. So it's well placed to join the VW pool. This pool is to the end of 2022 and the agreement remains open for others to join it. And the take from Electrive on this was actually one about Brexit. With Brexit looming at the end of the year, the UK is going to keep the European Union emissions targets, but we're going to trade them internally. And so we won't be trading EU-wide, but you have to make sure that the car fleets that they sell in this country from a group like VW are below the emissions regulations threshold. Now here, the pool with MG or SAIC is making more sense for Volkswagen. Most of the group's sales in Britain are through things like Bentley, meaning very, very CO2 intensive cars. The MG ZSEV, fourth best selling battery electric car in the UK so far this year. And so that makes sense. According to the European Electric Car Report, that actually VW would want to offset some of those cars they sell with big engines with the EVs that MG are selling. Right, final story today, and BYD are introducing the D1, a very interesting electric multi-purpose vehicle. I would call this a mummy wagon. Maybe you'd call this a minivan, an MPV. That gets a cobalt-free battery. Once again, BYD are using the LFP chemistry, lithium iron phosphate, with a sliding door on the right and two normal doors on the left. It's an electric vehicle especially made for families with kids and ride-hailing services, says Pedro and his website Push EVs. Chinese ride-hailing giant Didi and the company that's bought Uber's China business are going to use this model as ride-sharing taxis. According to Moneyball, they plan to put 10,000 of these D1 cars in service between October and November this year, with 100,000 units next year. So it's pretty low energy density because it is an LFP battery. So it's 140 watt-hours per kilogram using the what they call the BYD Blade battery. And it has a 100 kilowatt motor. In a more realistic test, like the WLTP test cycle, this little minivan will do 193 miles. Looks pretty cool. It's pretty sweet. It's pretty boring to look at, but it'll do the job in China for ride hailing. And the BYD switch to these cobalt-free batteries and also cell-to-pack technology. So rather than making cells into modules and modules into batteries, actually is happening faster than any other automaker. And yes, we're looking at you, Tesla, mainly because at the moment, BYD already makes their own battery cells. BYD already makes their own battery packs, and it doesn't have any contracts to honour with external suppliers, says Electrive. Currently, BYD, it says Push EVs. Currently, BYD is putting its blade battery packs in models that have bigger batteries. We're replacing the nickel cobalt manganese batteries with cobalt free batteries represents a saving to them. But these packs will become more affordable and over time, and you can also have smaller battery packs for the cars that don't need to go as far. Fascinating story, and I'll pop a link in the show notes so you can read more. It was a long one today. I'm sorry. There was plenty going on. So much positive news once again in the world of EVs. A little 25-minute dose, a little caffeine injection of positivity. So you can see we're moving to a nice, clean, green future. I love this. I love stories like we've had today. But if you want to comment on any of them, I'd love to see you on the YouTube comments. Just drop by there. We put the audio onto YouTube. You can email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com, and we can hang out. Well, there are 895 previous shows in the archive. That archive is paid for. It's online. Thank you to my Patreon fans. Couldn't do it without them. And so, if you would like to be one of those, you can go to patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. My premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, and Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.